Hello guys, welcome to today's podcast. I remain your host, the software engineering manager, advocate, non-server king. And today I'm going to be talking something really, really exciting and really, really personal also, right? And I'm going to talk about my big mistake with emphasis on it being my, right? They are personal to me. Personal to my own history, personal to my own perspective on how I manage teams, see teams work, see teams evolve, right? All right, so my big mistake. Before I get into those, I would just like to say this. Every manager must learn their own approach through their own experience. And now this borders on self-awareness. It borders on feedback. What else does it put on? You know, so as a manager, you mustn't have the title manager, right? You lead people somewhere, somehow, right? You lead a team, even if it's not a formal arrangement, you still lead, right? So you must learn your own approach, what works best for you. Now, there are many management approaches, many leadership approaches, and you should study some of those, right? Because it helps inform you, right? The same way we study behaviors, you know, personalities and all of that, because it helps you to even understand yourself and your tendencies, right? But you must also master your own approach. So having studied, having looked around, you must master your own approach, which is how you ideally would behave, such that you can always, in a sense, trust yourself to deliver on a job, right? Given, no matter how great the variance of the circumstances are, right? One thing is, you, since you know you, you then know how to amend to really fit into the matters arising. And I must also add this, that every organization evolves, right? The greatest strength of a software engineering manager, one of the strengths, right, would be to remind people of what is important. Right, remind people that this is important, of the goal, of the business objectives, right? Now the company is bound to grow and change, right? As the company expands, as you keep on pushing business objectives, the company is bound to grow and change, right? Your culture either gets better or gets a little bit more saturated. Now, obviously, increasing strength, that's when I say strength, and I mean membership strength, does not automatically water down your culture. As a matter of fact, you know, it can actually enhance it, right? Because varieties is actually the spice of life, right? You have people who come out and show forth a certain flavor of the culture that maybe we haven't seen the light that we're going to see it in them, right? It is their own expression of maybe your value is creativity. That's their own expression of it. Maybe their value is, your value is trust. And you have people who are going to express that, you know, and obviously people must have the space, the confidence to really express that, right? And while you might have read great notes on one-on-ones and how to conduct them, I have, so before I became an engineering manager, I've searched through one-on-ones myself, and you know, you can tell when somebody's not being authentic, when somebody, you can just sense it, when somebody is going through the ropes with you, you know. And it would have been better if the person had just come up straight and say, you know what, I have a notebook in front of me, and I just want to ask you these questions from my notebook. Is that okay? And then from there, we can proceed to have a conversation, right? Than when it seemingly seems like, you know, the person has gone and has mastered all these formulas, and then we are not having an organic communication, right? We are having more of a rehearsed mental simulation, right? Okay, so that's enough about that. So let me go into the crux of today's matter. My big mistake. And, well, I've made a good number of mistakes, and it wouldn't be the... It wouldn't be the flattering, you know, humbling and flattering ones, you know, where you ask people about mistakes they've made, and then they come up with some really flattering mistakes that doesn't really drive home the point, right? These are, well, but in a sense, they are not mistakes. If you look at it from another end, then they're not mistakes. But, now that I have had time to really think about them, I think I should do better next time, right? So let me begin by saying, first, it applies because I worked in a largely remote first culture. I've also worked in a very physical, you know, office kind of setting. But obviously, over the last 3 years, even before COVID, I was working in a very remote first kind of culture. So my first mistake, I would say, would be not following the people I lead on social media. Right. So when I got into leadership position, you know, tech lead and all of that, and then there were new people who came up, you know, came into the team, I most likely welcomed them, obviously. Help do onboarding and all of that, but then I don't go further to follow them on social media, you know, follow them on where can I find you apart from on Slack or on Teams or somewhere, where else can I find you, right? First of all, is I never thought about it. To be very honest, I never thought about it. I never thought why is it important for me to follow this person, right? And then again, when I was thinking about it, it may have also been a pride mistake, you know. I'm the leader, they should follow me, you know, that kind of a feeling. You also felt kind of snoopy, you know, following, you know, it'd be like, is he trying to monitor me or something like that? And all of that. So there were myriads of factors. Sometimes it would be me not saying, you know what, keep this guy at arm's length, you know, so that they don't get too close, and you know all of those things that goes on in your mind, you know. No, don't get into my personal life. My Instagram is mine and mine alone. Yeah, we can connect on LinkedIn, that's fine. Obviously, I won't say I don't like the way people speak, but you know, people really, if you would post on Twitter versus you would post on LinkedIn, I mean, on LinkedIn, you would have read it through maybe 10 times, you know, proofread it, put it in Grammarly corrections and all that, grammatical corrections and all that, right? So, yeah, so it was both a pride mistake. I'm the leader, they should follow me. It was both complete ignorance, where I really didn't know I should follow them. And I really didn't see why I should follow them, right? So, but why is that important? Is in a remote first, in a larger remote society that we are in now, it creates a knowledge gap, right? If the only place I see you is on Slack, I would often want to have a mini icebreaker. You see, when I used to work, and we all have this experience if we worked in offices, right, is I can catch up with you at the, at the kitchen, water cooler, or somewhere. We could just walk, you know, going down the stairs or the elevator together, or coming into work together, take a taxi. You know, there are many situations where we could break off from talking about work to talking about other things, right? You know, ride together if you're going in my direction and all that. So, but we're largely remote now. So, and I don't know what else about you, apart from the fact that you've raised a PR, closed the tax, delivered on your work. And if you don't tell me that your wife is having a baby or something, you know, something going on, it's your birthday, you know, or you're going for Thanksgiving, something like that, guess what? I have no idea. Right? So it creates a knowledge gap in a largely remote first culture, right? I don't know what else is going on in their lives, because they won't talk about it on a call or on Slack because it's unprofessional. If I call you on Slack or shoot you a link or schedule a meeting with you, there's almost always an agenda, right? We're talking about this. We're talking about this objective. We're talking about this. Even when it's one-on-ones, is we're talking about you, you know? So there's usually an agenda to the meetings. There's, you know, there's that constraint there, right? So I think that has been a major mistake. And going forward, I would really follow everyone that I work with, right? Especially at the beginning when we begin to work together, right? So that by the time I don't go on social media often, but by the time I open my Instagram or Twitter or something, I could at least see what this person is saying outside of work. So by the next time I want to call, we can have a little icebreaker. I can ask, oh, how did the concerts that you went to, how did it go? Did you enjoy it? And guess what? It gives me ideas. Maybe next time, we could hang out at a concert. I could get a personal ticket, you know, instead of just, you know, do what it would be normal. Let's say, give a bonus pay or something like that. You know, you could say, you know what, you and your partner, you got 2 tickets. You can sail the world or something like that. You know, once you know that they have interest in other areas, your reward system is a bit more robust, right? You could suggest, obviously, you're not the one doing the reward, but you could also recommend people for reward. So you, when you recommend them for reward, you could, you know, write them, oh, you know what? Hey, I saw your, what do you call it, pre-wedding pictures. Why not take a trip for 2 to the Bahamas or something like that? And, you know, as a present, you, instead of you just, I mean, think about that. You know, if, I mean, I'm sure I will remember such a gift for the rest of my life, really. I mean, yeah, well, if you give me cash, I'll remember cash, right? But if you give me like a trip to the Bahamas or something, you know, it because it is an experience, right? People are going to remember it more, right? People are going to remember it more, right? People are going to, I will be very grateful about it, right? I'll be very, very grateful about it. So, not following from the one is also a mistake, because most times you follow on later on, which isn't the best, you know. Yeah, because when you follow on later, it's more like, is it snooping in on me? Am I underperforming? You know, it becomes a bit apprehensive, right? Because, I mean, imagine you just finished a one-on-one with that person and then you're following the person on social media and the person gets notification. Your boss is following your social media. You will critically examine the following, you know, and like most teenagers, well, I'm sure the people I work with don't do this, but I've seen teenagers who have a secret account and have another secret account. So there's their professional social media account that their parents follow them on, and then there is another social media account that their friends of other people, not family now, follow them on, right? And so I always wonder the deception, really. It's to, you know, create an appearance of something so that people don't, well, maybe you don't want people to know too much about you and all of that, right? I think that's a major mistake on my own part, looking back. Also, for people that I have followed, I don't think just liking is enough. I think commenting would also go a long way, because if you just like and don't comment, it feels like, hey, it feels like you're stalking this person, right? And I've really worked with really great, smart people, right? So I don't see a situation where familiarity would breed disrespect at all. I haven't experienced that. Last time I experienced that was maybe when I had a leadership position in, say, secondary school, and then we're young, so maybe we didn't know, right? But where I've been at all this while, way after then, no, I think people already understand their boundaries, right? People know their boundaries, they understand their boundaries, so they also know when they're stepping out of line. You really don't have to tell them that, right? How would I have done better now, right? Is that maybe next time I would not just follow. Now, this is me. After I've thought about this and said, you know what, this was a mistake, I should have done this earlier, right? Was if I was going to go forward, I would like to take a picture with this person, right? Even if it's remote, right? Even if it's remote. If we are in the same city, we may never see again, right? Of course, we'll talk on Slack and do video calls, but, you know, it's never the same thing as being with the same person in the same room, you know, and all of that. You know, all of the whole varieties that an in-person experience affords you. So at the onset of the relationship, I would make the effort to make them feel welcome, right? So for me, it would be things like taking a picture with them together, stating how pleased you are to meet them. And if we are within the same locality, why not? I would make the effort to meet with the person in person. So I would meet them at their closest favorite restaurant and buy them a drink or a meal or both, right? Just so that we get to sit out and, you know, play. Definitely not work, but just play, introduce ourselves and talk, right? And for best effect, so after we've met in person and taking pictures together, for best effect is, hey, I want to post this picture of me and you on Twitter. Do you think it's okay? Can I tag you and all of that? So you are seeking permission to, you know, you are seeking permission to be their friend, not just be their boss, right? Because obviously you can follow them on Twitter, be their friends on Facebook or something like that, but when you say that, people intentionally know that this person, you know, because obviously it's going to be, I think it's going to be a bit odd for my boss now. So I'm thinking even as a manager, you have a manager, you know, so I'm thinking my manager saying, hey, can we be friends? And I'm like, sir, you're my manager, how can we be friends? You know, we can't be friends. You are, you know, but when he says something like, can we be, hey, do you mind if I post this on LinkedIn, WhatsApp, not LinkedIn now, LinkedIn is too professional, say Twitter, yeah, Instagram, you know, pictures of us eating, having fun and all of that, they think it's okay, and I give a go ahead, you know, it really means a lot. It really means I have accepted, you know, really and truly, I have accepted to be with this company at this time, you know, to be with this person, to be associated with this brand, right? To put a face to it, right? Because it speaks volumes, right? And it's a subtle way of asking to be that person's friend, because, well, in my own perspective, is you want to be friends with the people you work with, and you want to be true friends. You want to be great friends with them, because really and truly, that's the only way to have an enjoyable workplace. You know, it's great when your boss is your friend, when you know that you guys are working together towards a goal, right? All right then. So in conclusion, these are my own thoughts now. I would say in a remote first culture, it is okay for you to post their welcome kits. You know, it is okay, but it would be awesome, right? It would be awesome if it was hand delivered. Now, this would put a lot of pressure on the manager, right, to do all of these things. But then I don't think the manager has to do all of these things. He has to start it, but he doesn't need to be the one to do all of it, right? How is it best now? So this will lead me into another podcast I'm going to make next week on onboarding and how I have tried to, the word would be, dismember the onboarding so that it is easy for everyone to do, you know, and then it strengthens everyone's knowledge of both the platform, the company, the team, and all of that, right? Yeah, so, but really, the manager has to initiate it, which means he has to do it for one person. He or she really has to do it for one person. And once it is done for one person, the person is facilitated to pay it on. So let's say I'm an engineering manager. I do it for one person. Software engineer, obviously, that is coming in new. And then that new person, if I am unable to do it a second time, right, I can tell that new person, hey, we have a new engineer. He's somewhere in Birmingham. Can you work on him, right? Obviously, we'll pay your, if it's close by, train, bus, ticket, or taxi, or anything like that, you know, pay your ride. These are the stuff you're going to go with. The goal is to go there, interact with this person. And obviously, what another thing that this does is it gives the person the opportunity to build up their leadership strength too, right? Because obviously, everyone needs to build up that strength, right? Everyone needs to build up that strength. I'll just end with a quote from John Maxwell here. He says, time given to leaders grows your organization for today. Time given to potential leaders grows the organization for tomorrow. Right? So, you need to be in that balance of building for today and then building for tomorrow, right? Planning for today and planning for tomorrow. If not, you might arrive at tomorrow and your tomorrow is empty, which means you have people unable to deliver the future, right? I was speaking with a founder today, and he was telling me about how the work that they're doing, awesome work that they're doing, and how the company they were working with is awesome years ago, right? And today it's completely bereft of any innovative ideas. Nothing really, you know, you wouldn't even consider them as a creative, a forward thinking future. In fact, you know, when you talk, people don't look forward to working with them and all of that. And the question was, how did we get here? You know, but it's that slippery slope of, you know, not planning ahead for the future, and not giving time to potential, not giving time and opportunity to potential leaders, right? And I believe that there's a place in every man that wants to express that innate, well, let's call it innate talent, innate desire, right? Self-actualization, if we put it in the Maslow's hierarchy of needs. All right, guys, I'm going to stop here, and please tweet at me your feedback, or just send me an email at master@kingnonso.com. You know, connect with me on LinkedIn at Chinonso, or yeah, tweet at me at TechNonso, or find me on TikTok. I am currently on TikTok at EM Advocate. Yeah, I'm trying. I need to put a video out on TikTok, really. Oh, I've created an account to see my face on TikTok. Just never gotten around to it. Anyways. All right, guys. Thank you for listening, and see you soon.